All right, well, welcome to Sunday School this morning, everyone. Glad to have everybody. See all your smiling faces. Serene brass. All right, well, let's start with singing some songs together. Does anybody have one? I think Ezra has one. Number three. All right. Number three.
A little ship was on the sea. It was a pretty
sight. So who could this glorious person be?
The Lord Jesus.
That's right. The Lord Jesus is this glorious person. And this song talks about something that I'd like to talk about this morning. When it said, let's see, line I was thinking of. All but one were sore afraid of sinking in the deep. We're going to talk a little about that later on. Anybody else have another song for us? Sweetie, did you have a song you like to sing? Which one? Wise men said?
78.
Scarlet? Yeah. All right. Thanks. You're welcome. 78. Number 78.
Scarlet, though your sins be scarlet.
All right, maybe one of the bigger kids. What scripture does that song come from? It's good if the songs that we sing from the Word of God, but who can think of what scripture this song comes from? Anybody think of what it might be? What do you think, Liz?
Moses.
Well, Moses did talk about scarlet in the law when they had to do some of the offerings. They had to get scarlet. It wasn't what the one I was thinking of, but good guess. Good you're connecting that. Who else can help me? Doesn't have to be a kid either.
God talks about scarlet, as he talks about since he was washed away.
Yeah, that's about the verse I was thinking about. Anybody know where it's found? The verse I was thinking of is in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's quite a contrast. Usually if we spill ketchup on our clothes or maybe some red wine, things that stain pretty bad, right? And sin is like that. It stains us. But, you know, usually this time of year we see quite a bit of snow on the ground, but not today. The snow is nice and white. And we can be whiter than snow, right? Because snow has a little black thing in it, a little piece of carbon. There's a little bit of a black spot even in snow. But the Lord Jesus and His blood can wash us even whiter than snow. So that when God sees you, or He sees me, He sees us perfectly clean. Now that's wonderful. We'll talk about that a little later. Who else has the song for us? No one yet?
Number 10.
All right. Let's sing it together. Number 10.
Around the throne of God in heaven, the many children sing.
Very good. Who else has one for us? Henry?
Number 6.
A, B, C, D,
E, F, G. Jesus died for you.
Anybody else have one? Yeah.
59. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings.
Well, let's ask for the Lord's help in our time together. God and our Father, we're thankful to be able to be together and to be able to sing these songs, bring before us such wonderful truths concerning thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. We just ask for help this morning as we speak about him, that he would be precious to each of our hearts, that there would be glory brought to him. We acknowledge our need of help in speaking of such a wonderful person. And so we would ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'd like to talk this morning about one of the most exciting stories that's contained in this book. Anybody have a guess as to what it might be? Sam?
Story of Jesus dying on the cross.
That's a great guess. It isn't actually the one I'm thinking of. Anything, Ezra? Well, go to somebody else. It is about Jesus. I'll give you a hint. What do you think, Srita? Yeah, it is about Jesus. You're right. Yep. Something spectacular about Jesus. Go ahead, Henry. That is one of my favorite stories, but that isn't the one I was thinking of. Later in the Gospel of John, though. What I wanted to talk about a bit this morning is the resurrection. So what can you tell us the resurrection is, Simon?
The resurrection is when Jesus rose from the dead.
Right. Well, that's quite incredible. And I'd like to go to where we were yesterday in the reading meeting. This is what brought this to my attention. So Hebrews chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll go to Hebrews 2 a little later, Lord willing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. So it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Or perhaps it could say, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from among the dead." So this verse is telling us to remember something. Anybody ever forget anything? I think all of us forget things sometimes. But it's nice when we remember, especially when it's something that's important. Alright? And this verse is telling us to remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead. Okay? So another verse I wanted to talk about that I mentioned a second ago in Hebrews chapter 2 that I've been thinking about. Hebrews chapter 2. And I like verse 9 a lot, so I think I'm going to read it. But the one I'm thinking about is further down in the chapter. Hebrews 2 verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man," or for everything. And then we'll stop, we'll move down to verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." All right. So right now, we're all sitting, or I'm standing here in this meeting room, wearing masks. Okay, is this kind of what we normally do? No. This is different than normal. All right, so the government has told us that we're to put on some masks, so we're doing that to obey them. Okay? But why are they telling us to wear masks? Well, to stop the spread of the virus. Okay? Now, what might the virus do? It might cause you to die. Right? There is a chance. And some people have a higher chance than others. And I think all of us know that we can't die without the Lord allowing it to happen. Alright? But there's a lot of people in this world that don't know about Jesus and think that they have to stop things from happening to keep people from dying. And I realize there's a responsibility the government has, and that's not my point to get into at all. The point is, there's a lot of people who are terrified to die. They are in a bondage. Okay? So bondage is kind of like being imprisoned. You're tied up by something. Okay? It's not very nice to be tied up. Sometimes as kids we would tie each other up. Let's just try to escape. It was kind of like a game. Alright? But if you realized you were stuck and you had to ask somebody to help you get out, it really wasn't that nice. Okay? And there's lots of things that people can be in bondage to. You can be tied up by it, stuck. Okay, and there's a lot of people in this world, maybe there's somebody in this room, that's stuck in this fear of death. Because one thing is certain. All of us were born, and all of us will die. Now, we know from the Word of God that Jesus is going to come back. We'll read that verse a little later, Lord willing. And He is going to take the people who have believed in Him to heaven. And they won't die. But everyone else is going to die. Alright? That's for certain. You might get sick, you might not get sick. But you will die. There's no escaping that. Other than what I said with the Lord Jesus, knowing Him, being taken to be with Him. Alright, so this last week, was the last week, the week before? I guess it'd be the week before because this is Lord's Day. The week before, this last week that we just went through, we had a very sad thing happen at home, at the same time a very happy thing, and that was that a very good friend of ours, Lane Wood, a sister in Christ, she died. She had cancer, and she came to the end of her time on earth, and she died. Okay? And it was sad. Very sad. And she was the person that babysat our kids. She was a sister in the assembly that had an open home. She always had people in. She always said, look, my doors are always unlocked. If you need something, even if I'm not home, come in and get it. She had a very, very big heart towards everyone. And we're going to miss that sister. But we know that she, when she died, went from being in a body, suffering with cancer, lots of pain, to being with Christ, which is far better. You know, do we have sorrow for her? Are we sorry for Lane that she died? No. But if Lane wasn't trusting in the Lord Jesus, oh dear. That fear of death that she would have had would have been very legitimate. She would have gone to hell. That would be awful. To be forever separated from light and love. To be in darkness with hatred forever. That's awful. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, this fear of death. You know, Lane, she was talking about death before she said, I know what's going to happen after I die. I'm going to be with Christ. But she said, I don't quite know what it's going to be like to go and to pass through death to go to the other side. I hadn't really thought too much about that myself. But the Lord has said He's going to take us to be with Himself. And so however that feels or is like, you know, we can trust Him for that. But you know, you kids, and particularly we're talking to this morning, but each one of us, do we have that fear of death, a bondage like chains or handcuffs that are holding us? Or do we have a confidence because of what God has said that we're going to be with Him? You know, that fear of death, He doesn't want us to have it. You know, I don't want to die. I'm very glad to be alive. But I know that if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. You know, it's going to be so much better than, you know, it's nice to be with all of you, but by comparison, to be with Jesus is going to eclipse everyone else. Everyone else is going to be eclipsed by Him. You know, He's perfect. His glory is wonderful. And the wonderful thing is that He loves each one of us. He loves us personally. You know, do the important people of this world love the individual? No, they don't. But Jesus does. He cares for each and every one of us intensely. He knows the very hairs on our head. He understands every feeling, everything that we pass through. And He partook of flesh and blood so that He could understand. And so it says that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so that's where the resurrection comes in. Okay, so I think each one of us knows the wonderful story, the sad story, and yet the amazing story of how the Lord Jesus was hung on a cross. How they took those nails, they pierced my hands and my feet. They hung Him up there to die. Everyone to see. And you know what? He died. The soldier with this spear, he took that spear and he thrust it into his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. He was dead. You know, there was a few men, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. They took that body down from the cross. And there was a tomb. Seems sort of like maybe a cave, we would call it. Some sort of a hole in the ground. I don't know exactly what it looked like. Maybe a cave. And they carried Him in there. And they took His body and they wrapped it up all nice with linen clothes and put some nice spices in there so it smelled nice. And they left that body and they rolled the stone back over the door. Jesus was dead. You know, there were some people that really loved Him there. Like Mary Magdalene, some other women, Mary His mother, Joanna. You know, those women that truly loved Him. And they were there, they were weeping. Because the man that they loved was dead. The one that they had hoped would be the Savior. The one that they had hoped would redeem Israel. He was going to be the king, set up the kingdom. He was dead. They were devastated. How could it be? He never did anything wrong. The leaders took Him. They killed Him. It seemed like the end. But you know what? It wasn't the end. This verse tells us that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so the first day of the week, same day we're on today, maybe we'll just look at it quickly in John. John 20 says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Alright. So, Mary, in her love and devotion, she comes while it's still dark, just to be at the sepulchre. Just Jesus' dead body was enough for her. And there was some discussion amongst the ladies. How are we going to open the door? How are we going to roll back this enormous stone and put the spices that we've prepared on His dead body? You know, when they got there, was the stone still over the door? What do you think, Lydia?
No.
No, the stone wasn't over the door. Now that would be a little surprising. You're coming while it's dark, and the sepulcher is open. There had been guards there, we read in Matthew, that they had set there to make sure the disciples didn't come and steal away his dead body at night. So there were guards that they were worried about. I don't know whether they were worried about them or not, but there were guards that were there. There was a stone that I don't expect these two ladies could have rolled back by themselves. And yet, they come, and here is an open sepulcher. And this is different than they expected. You know, first of all, they didn't expect Jesus to die. Now they don't expect the sepulcher to be open. So she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Just stop there for a moment. So Mary, she runs away from the sepulchre and comes and she tells Peter and John. Perhaps the others. And so they run. And who was the faster runner? Henry? You know who the faster runner was? One of them, Peter and John. All right, I put you on the spot. Sam?
John?
John seemed to be the faster runner. So he got there first. So he peeks in. And when he peeks into the sepulcher, he saw those linen clothes that they had wrapped Jesus up in. And they're lying there, but there's no body. Now, I don't know. I'm sometimes a little creeped out by things like that, so I probably wouldn't have gone in, kind of like John. He just kind of peeked in and then he stayed out. But Peter wasn't like that. He came in, he wanted to see exactly what happened. And so in he goes, right in. He looks at everything. And when Peter was there, then John seemed to go in too. And I thought, what is going on? We know he was dead, but his body isn't here. What happened? It says John saw and believed. But it also says that they didn't realize that the scripture said he was going to rise again from the dead. So, they went back home. But who didn't go back home? Verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
I'm just so impressed by the heart of Mary that loved the Lord Jesus so much. So much. She just wanted to be with him. She didn't know where his body was, but that was the last place she knew it had been. And she was just there weeping. She wanted to be with him. You know, when each one of our hearts wants to know the Lord, to be with him, he's going to reveal himself to us. He wants that closeness with each one of us. You know, does he just want it for those that are older? No. He wants it with each one. To be close with him. You know, he had suffered for Mary's sins. Mary had had 7 demons cast out of her. She had known evil. And she also knew that Jesus had set her free. And she loved him. You know, he revealed himself to her. And he revealed this wonderful truth that we have. I ascend to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. And he told that to Mary, the one that wanted to be with him. By rising from the dead, Jesus showed that death is not the final answer for people. Because death, up to that point, had claimed people, and they had not returned. Yes, there were people who had been raised from the dead, but they would die again. There was Lazarus. There was the one who touched the bones of Elisha. There was the widow's son who was brought back to life, maybe with both Elijah and Elisha. There were people who had been brought back from the dead, but they died later on. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he showed that death is not the end. When we looked at that sister Lane lying in the coffin, her body is there. But that's not the end even for that body. That body is going to rise again. Just like Jesus rose from the dead. Each one of us has this body that we live in, that is part of us, as Alex was speaking about yesterday. So that fear of death, that bondage, by going into death, showing that Jesus was in death, he was dead, and he came out of death, it no longer could hold him. And you know what? He offers that to each one of us, with the offer of eternal life. The death cannot have that final dominion over us. Now, each one of you here, each one, myself, do we have the confidence that what God has said in His Word is true? Believing God, right? Faith. Okay, so I'd like to go to another well-known verse in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believing in the resurrection, that Jesus died and he rose again. Do we believe it? What does it say here? If you confess with your mouth to Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be what? You can help me.
Saved.
You will be saved. Does it say you might? Or there's a 99% chance? No. You will be saved. No, you kids, you can have full confidence that you are saved. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Yes. All right. Have you confessed with your mouth? Have you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, then you're saved. You don't have to have the fear of death. You don't have to have that bondage. You can be free. No, this is amazing. You know how many people in the world do not have this? So many. And we have this treasure right here in the Word of God. Jesus has died for us so that we can be saved. You know, sometimes we get so used to it. Just the same old story. I've heard that before. I know all the details. Really? That's not what it meant to Mary. She wanted to be with her Lord. It meant something to her. You know, in each response that we have to the Lord Jesus, he so appreciates. It matters to him. It matters to him. You get in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to more than 500 believers at once. We know he appeared to Peter. You know, Peter, when Jesus was being accused, Peter said, I don't know him. He even said bad words to announce, I don't know this man. You know, it says that Jesus had met with Peter too. Perhaps there's somebody here that you feel like you're away from the Lord because of something that perhaps you've done. The Lord wants you back too. He didn't want Peter to just go off on his own. He wanted Peter to be fruitful. And he wants that for each one of us. Don't stay away from him. Always come back. He always wants you back. He never wants us to be left. You know, Jesus went back to heaven. And I said we'd refer to this verse. Thank the Lord, help me remember it. But in John 14, maybe we'll just end up with these verses. In John 14, first three verses, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, this is the promise that the Lord Jesus left to his own shortly before he was going to go to the cross. I will come again and receive you to the many mansions. No, it's not what it says. I will receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. No, that's the hope that we have before us. Is to be with the man who loved us and gave himself for us, to be with him, to be fully satisfied. That's his promise. He said he was going to rise again after 3 days, and he did. And he also said, I will come again. That's what we have to look forward to, each one of us who has put our trust in him, has believed in the resurrection, has confessed with our mouth. Any of you kids, if you really do believe in your heart but you haven't told somebody with your mouth. Say it. If you believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. All right? Sometimes it takes a little courage to say something, but do it. It's a privilege. You know, think of what Jesus suffered. We're to remember that He was raised from among the dead. He went into death for us. And that's the energy, the power that we have to live the Christian life. He's given us what we need. Remember, Jesus Christ raised from among the dead.
Let's close in prayer.
Father, we're so thankful to be able to read these few scriptures together and be able to consider for a few moments this wonderful story of the resurrection of Thy Son. Thank You for Thy grace in offering salvation to each one of us. We could be brought from the bondage, that awful fear of death that we legitimately have and deserve, to be able to be free, and instead to be able to look for the Lord's promise to come again. Father, we just pray that these things would touch our hearts, that it would not just be a doctrine that we put on a shelf somewhere in our mind, but that it would affect every area of our life. Just thank You for help this morning. Pray that our hearts would be drawn out in worship to our Savior, the Lord Jesus, as we are gathered together. I just pray in His precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.